San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, August 24, 2025. Today's lesson is Of Course We Can, with Reverend Mark Obkamp.
Good morning and welcome to San Diego Center for Spiritual Living. Know that this is indeed our spiritual home, and we are honored and blessed to have you join us this morning. There are many things that we could be doing on a Sunday morning, but on this day and in this moment, we have been brought together not by fate or kismet, but by perfect divine guidance. And so as I begin this morning's message, let us take a moment to anchor ourselves in the truth that there is one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence that flows through all creation. There's that word, creation. And I call this power God the Living Spirit Almighty, one absolute, indestructible, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. And why do we anchor ourselves in this truth every Sunday? Because we truly believe in the infinite and awesome power behind the creative force that has given us life and existence and all that is. It is the creative intelligence that has given us life and form and has also given us the same power to create, have the choice in how we will create, and be a part of all that is, all that has been, and all that ever will be. We are all part of the divine oneness, and it has given us the power to choose, to think, and to decide what it is we wish to create. And guess what the greatest part of all this is? If we are dissatisfied with what we have created, we have the free will and power of free will to say, "I don't like that," and start all over again. Every day is a chance to change. Every day is a chance to create. Every minute we're creating, actually. So our theme for this year, for 2025, is simple abundance. And today, we get to look at creation from another angle, as we've been doing this month. So I am really excited to be talking about creation. And I thank Dr. Connie for your introduction and your meditation, because I'm done, you know? You already said everything I'm going to say, so. But anyway, so think about this. If one of us is a powerful creator, what do 10 together do? Or 100, or 1,000, or 1 million? The power of like minds can change absolutely anything and everything. But today, we are going to focus a little bit on our power to create within our own lives. And remember that though I may be paying attention to what you or I may be able to do, that there is a power for greater than anything we could imagine creating within this universe. And we can call upon it at any time to use. To paraphrase Ernest Holmes, creator of the Science of Mind philosophy and author of the Science of Mind textbook, there is a power far greater than us in this universe, and we can use it. How great is that? We can use that power. We can use the entire power of the universe to create to the extent of our belief. That's the caveat. It has to be to the extent of our belief. If we believe it, we can make it happen. So if we truly believe that we can do anything, guess what? We can do anything. So as I was putting this lesson together, I of course wanted to check out the definition of creativity. And we've had some definitions all the way through this month. So I went to find out that I needed to start with the definition for create, which according to the American Heritage Dictionary of the English language, is to cause to exist, to originate, or to bring about or produce. So I thought about the account in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, that tells us in the beginning God created everything. The heavens and the earth, light and darkness, lands and oceans, humans, the animals, and everything that we could imagine. Imagine. I think that you may be hearing that word or some variants of it somewhere else this morning. But for now, because what I have discovered putting this lesson together for today is that it is impossible to be creative without having an active imagination as well. So the next definition that I looked at was, of course, creation. That would be the act of creating, which we have already determined God or universal intelligence did while putting together all that is. The next two definitions kind of made me smile. The world and all things in it, and God's primal act of bringing the world into existence. Science of mind right there. Doesn't get more basic than that, folks. It goes on to explain the creator as one who creates, which I kind of like to look at as originator. And then, guess what? God. God is the creator. Wow. I never quite got that, did you? So, if the creator is the one who creates, then creativity is characterized by originality or imaginative. Now, to me, thinking of spirit as the original imaginative source explains the idea of all the wondrous things and all the things around us that we get to express and experience each day. And the fact that each of us was created in its own image. That each of us, within our own right, is a unique individual. And that not one of us is exactly the same. Though we may be like-minded, not one of us views something in exactly the same way. Each and every one of us is a unique and individualized expression of the one creative power, God, the living spirit almighty. This might be a good time to see how Ernest Holmes defines the creator and creation. On page 583, paragraph 1 in the Science of Mind textbook, the creator is described as God, the immutable, inexorable, unchangeable principle back of and responsible for all existence. And what have I been saying? Without God, there isn't anything. We wouldn't be here. This house wouldn't be here. The street outside wouldn't be here. Nothing would be here. It would just be a blank void. He goes on to say that God, the unchanging, is the impersonal mother, father, God, the limitless, the whole. In other words, in case we've forgotten, God is all there is. And spirit always says, what? Yes! That's right, yes! And on page 582, Holmes explains creation as the giving of form to the substance of mind. Creation always was and always will be. To be conscious is to create. And I like to think of us as conscious parts of the whole. Because spirit has to be conscious, and therefore must have something of which to be conscious. Creation is God making something out of himself or itself by becoming the thing he creates. This is the reason that we talk about the spirit within, for we are that spirit in human form. We are part of the one. And he goes on to say that the thought of God coming into expression must go on forever. So that idea of one thought creating a ripple And that ripple going on and on and on into universes we don't even know about is exactly what we think. We must understand that creation does not mean making something out of nothing, but means the passing of substance into form through a law which is set in motion by the word of spirit. One voice, one word. There could not be a time when the activity of spirit would cease. So spirit is always thinking. Spirit is always creating. And we are part of that spirit. And think of all the people on the planet and all the animals and all the thoughts. Each one of those is a creation. The whole action of spirit must be within itself, upon the law, which is also within itself, and upon the universal stuff or matter, which is also within itself. The three must in reality be one, hence the Trinity. This also explains the triune nature of the universe or the creative process. And we all know the teaching symbol in the creative process, mind, body, spirit, mind, body, manifestation. It's all there. So how does this apply to little old us? Well, let's think about it. We're humankind. Since spirit never stops creating, and since we are all of a spiritual nature in essence, we are always creating as well. And the interesting thing is that we don't even have to be aware we are creating. It is simply the nature within us to act within the elements of the law and create. But where does the process begin? Well, Ernest Holmes, also known to some of us as Uncle Ernie, says this on page 47, paragraph 4 in the Science of Mind textbook. The mind must conceive before the creative energy can produce. We must supply the avenue through which it can work. It is ready and willing. It is its nature to spring into being through our thoughts and actions. So once again, we supply the catalyst for the universe, which is already set up to create. To create. So I have a question for you. Since we have already pretty much established that creation existed before human beings, but we are all part of the creative process, how important do you think we are to the creative process? I think that Edward de Bono put it pretty well when he stated that there is no doubt that creativity is the most important human resource of all. Without creativity, there would be no progress, and we would be forever repeating the same patterns. Kind of like the movie Groundhog Day. Over and over and over. Okay. So think for a moment about how Dr. Kanye and I have both stated at any given time that any idea that is to be thought has already been conceived in the mind of God. But in the mind of man, a thought needs to be born to bring that idea into manifestation. This is why we as humans have also been given the power of imagination. George Bernard Shaw once said that imagination is the beginning of creation. You imagine what you desire, you will what you imagine, and at last, you create what you will. That sounds a lot like the Science of Mind analogy of seed, soil, plant. We start with the seed, or idea. We plant it in the soil, the creative process, and if we take care of it properly, our belief and faith that it will grow and prosper, kind of like giving it water and sunlight, maybe some fertilizer, the creative process will take place, and the plant that has been created is our manifestation. The idea goes through the creative process and comes out the end. That's the product. It's really very simple. So I've already given you a dictionary definition of creativity and mentioned some of what Ernest Holmes has said about it. and you will probably hear a little more from him on the subject today. But as I was putting together today's lesson, I came across an idea from Michael Shea. Creativity is seeing something that doesn't exist already. You need to find out how you can bring it into being, and that way, be a playmate to God. Since we are already all one, and we are part of the one mind, of course we are a playmate to God. But even more importantly, with God. We are creating together, so we are playing together. Think of that. Think of us playing, and then think of God playing. We're God's playthings. That is so cool. We're God's toys. I like that. We supply the thought, and the Spirit acts upon it as we believe. There is no way we can play apart from each other. Dolly Parton once said that dreams are of no value if they're not equipped with wings. Well, if we are the dreamers, then Spirit must be supplying the wings. In the Science of Mind textbook, on page 146, paragraphs 2 and 3, we are told that through spiritual discernment, we see that we have within us a power which is greater than anything we shall ever contact, a power that can overcome every obstacle in our experience and set us safe, satisfied, and at peace, healed and prosperous in a new light and a new life. If God be for us, who can be against us? Well, maybe ourselves. Oh, thoughts are things. What are we creating? God's creative power of mind is right here. We have as much of this power to use as we believe and embody. The storehouse of nature is filled with infinite good, awaiting the touch of our awakened thought to spring forth into manifestation in our lives. But the awakening must be within our thought. The word that we speak is the law of our lives, and nothing hinders its operation but ourselves. We may use this creative word for whatever purpose we desire, and this word becomes the law into the thing for which it was spoken. We are given the power to sit in the midst of our lives and direct their activities. So life is going on all around you, and you're sitting there directing. Think of the conductor of an orchestra, and the orchestra all in front of him. Well, we have even more power than that, because we have life all the way around us, and through us, and as us. Strife and struggle are unnecessary. We only need to know, but we must need to know. And so we can create and manifest everything, but we need to be fully aware that once the seed is planted, it is going to create what we believe it is going to create. And remember again that God created humankind in its own image. So we have that same power working through us to create whatever it is that we desire. We are simply allowing Spirit to have a human experience through us. And it, in turn, is helping us to shape and create that experience. Erich Fromm told us that the desire to create is one of the deepest yearnings of the human soul. And yet we are creating in every moment. When you think about it, Pablo Picasso definitely had it right when he said that everything you can imagine is real. Everything you can imagine is real. After all, do we not create our own realities? And what is real to me may not be real to you or anybody else. It doesn't have to be. It is our reality, not somebody else's. But let us remember that one of the greatest gifts that we have been given especially if we follow this philosophy, is to know that there is a power for good in the universe greater than we are, and we can use it. So why sometimes do we not use it to the fullest expression in our lives? If all things are possible to faith, why do we not have more faith? Why do we sell ourselves short within our own beliefs? We must always remember that faith and belief are mental attitudes. So if we are lacking in these areas in our being, Ernest Holmes suggests in his book, Living the Science of Mind, to begin using positive affirmations daily. Some of the phrasing that he suggests using are, I do have faith. I do have conviction. I do believe. I do know and understand that there is a power greater than I am. I do realize that I can use it. There is nothing in me that can doubt, deny, or limit this power. My whole being accepts it, both consciously and unconsciously. And we can get hung up on that unconscious sometimes, because we don't always think about what we're thinking. Sometimes it just comes to us going, I don't like that, and it's just awful. Well, we're creating that, and if we don't like it, guess what? Spirit says, yes, you can have more of that, and you're not going to like it. We can practice believing, because thoughts are things. And when we say, I believe, and there is no doubt in me, we are doing two things. First, we are affirming our belief, and by doing so, begin to build a positive acceptance in our minds. And we reject our doubts and apprehensions by denying them. We need to realize that 90% of our thinking is unconscious. And so by daily affirming that there is nothing within us that is denying the good that we are affirming, and that any past experiences that have denied that good are wiped out of our minds and memories as a negative force, and forgive ourselves for these past mistakes, we then free ourselves to create better experiences in our lives. Of course, if we have already done this work, or are currently in the process of doing it, then we are probably opening up a clearer vision to realizing our inner truths. Any of us doing that? I hope so. Sometimes we just need to give ourselves a gentle reminder, kind of a nudge or a jump start. So today, I would like to end with a meditation from Ernest Holmes from his book 365 Science of Mind. I invite you to take a couple of deep breaths, finding your quiet space, and relaxing into the moment. And if it feels comfortable for you, close your eyes and simply be. My knowledge that the great I am is ever available gives me an increasing capacity to draw upon it and become inwardly aware of the presence of spirit through the quiet contemplation of the omni-action of spirit. I learn to look quietly and calmly upon every false condition, seeing through it to the other side of the invisible reality that molds conditions and recreates all of my affairs after a more dearly divine pattern. With a penetrating spiritual vision, I can dispute the obstruction, remove the obstacle, dissolve the wrong condition. Standing still, I can watch the sure salvation of the law. I now claim health instead of sickness, wealth instead of poverty, happiness instead of misery, in such degree as I gain mastery over the sense of negation, whether it be pain or poverty, I am proving the law of good. Every thought of fear or limitation is removed from my consciousness. I know that my word transmutes every energy into constructive action, producing health, harmony, happiness, and success. I know that there is something at the center of my being that is absolutely certain of itself. It has complete assurance, and it gives me complete assurance that all is well. I maintain my position as a divine being here and now. It is so, and so it is. And now just take a moment to breathe in all the good that you have just affirmed for your life. Virginia Woolf once said that it is odd how the creative power at once brings the whole universe into order. I don't think that it's odd at all, because I realize that the creative power is all good and all God. It just depends on how we choose to use it. I thank you for your time and attention this morning. Namaste.